Welcome to the Editor's Note Comics Podcast.
Nobody's walking out on this fun old-fashioned family Christmas. No, we're all in this together.
Central Maine's best comics podcast, by default.
Fragile. It must be Italian.
Here are your hosts, Zach and Jared.
I didn't know you had elves working here.
The middle of December, and it's already our last holiday show.
It's amazing how fast it happens. Well,
it's just the latter half of the month is top heavy with movies. So
it wasn't. It's our second and last holiday show.
That's why we snuck in that Star Wars one early.
So it's really three holiday shows that you got this year.
Yeah, whatever.
Plus, the year in review show is coming up. That's exciting. That's always one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm meandering off topic. I need to.
Do you, that was my favorite thing in the world. I guess we could do that.
Yeah, please, let's discuss. You know what it tells me? People are listening and people care. We love the feedback and we're going to probably not make many adjustments because we're lazy.
Usually, I mean, we get feedback, which is usually like someone's like, oh, I read this when I was a kid, or oh, this reminds me of this thing I did. And sometimes we get hate mail and sometimes I love it. But my favorite new comment that we got, which I laughed about, I laughed way harder than I should have.
No, I thought it was hilarious. I'm not laughing at the person. I'm just saying.
The review came in. I want to like this shitty little podcast, but you guys are so goddamn meandering. Stay on topic and get to the point already.
Well, the point of the show was we have no point. That's like, whose line is it anyway? Like, everything's made up. The points don't matter.
I swear to God, this is unrelated, but I am going to start adding time codes. Not because of you, but because I chose to do it.
Okay. Give you a little something extra to do, something extra to work on.
It's very simple, but I think it would help.
All right, that's fair.
Literally has nothing to do with this guy. I guess we could stop meandering.
No, I enjoy a good meander every now and then.
I can give you one more.
Okay.
If you check my Twitter, my Facebook, writer Chip Zdarsky made a personalized video for the store to buy Daredevil number one.
Oh, I did see the tweet. I didn't see the video.
Yeah. It was a case of like, hey, if you run a store, shoot me a message and I'll make a highly produced video for you.
Was it highly produced?
Lowly produced.
Oh, much like this podcast.
I put way more money into this, I guarantee.
Oh, wow. Well, you know.
But no, I mean, he's a funny guy. It's a nice little video if you want to check it out.
And the store gets a mention by a legitimate comic book guy.
Yeah. So if you want, you know, watch it and then also pre-order Daredevil because he's a really good writer. He used to be the comedy guy, but now he's doing more dramatic stuff, which I really like. So yeah, pre-order Daredevil.
Drama.
I guess from there, oh boy, I don't think we've turned the heater on down here yet this
year.
No,
that's fine.
I can smell it. Smell that dust burning off.
That's good. It adds some aroma to the show.
All right.
See, that was you. You meandered on that one.
Getting into the news.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
It's time for the news.
Trailers everywhere. There were a whole bunch of trailers. That's how that goes, right?
Yes.
All right. First up, and boy, they're leaning heavily into James Gunn from producer James Gunn.
The visionary producer, it said.
Oh, boy. If someone called me a visionary, I would just feel embarrassed. Not that anyone's, you know, beating down that door, but like, easy does it. The movie Brightburn had its first trailer. I think they might have dropped this at Comic-Con, but now it's finally out for the world to see.
Yes.
It's a horror movie. What if Superman, but he really liked to murder people?
Yeah.
I like That's, it.
I like the beginning parts of the trailer I like made, not knowing what it was. I'm like, huh, Man of Steel trailer.
Yeah, basically.
It's a lot of it shot for shot.
A little boy lands on Earth to a family that always wanted a baby but couldn't have one. But it turns out he likes to murder.
He's a real problem child.
He has super strength, heat vision, flight, has a cape. It's not Superman, though.
No, he also has a hood.
Yeah, so that's different. He covers his face.
Well, I mean, that's probably a much more effective disguise than Clark Kent just putting on some glasses.
Just likes to murder people, eats metal.
It's good for, like, you know...
I do like that concept,
whatever metal's
though,
good for.
That, you know, even though he's humanoid-looking, that he still wouldn't have, like, the same physiological response. He's not like, oh boy, I sure love a hearty Sunday brunch.
Yeah,
it's like, oh no, I enjoy the taste of your tin forks.
Yes, and I'm gonna have a hearty brunch of your
lunch,
your body.
Gonna burn you down. I guess his name is Brightburn.
Can't imagine why.
He has a little symbol.
Yep, two B's back to back.
I like his murdery ways. I think it's a fun idea. I'm all about it.
You know, give it up.
And I'm all for mixing stuff up with the genre. Like, we really haven't had a superhero horror movie yet. New Mutants, maybe, if that ever happens, still up in the air.
This has the jump scare at the end. You know it's coming. I like it. I think I'm interested to see the story play itself out.
Yeah, this is
even if it's like a total reboot of a Superman origin, but it's just if he went bad and it's all stuff I like. It's the, like you said, it's the what if factor. What if Clark Kent didn't want to save that bus full of drowning children that picked on him?
What if instead of just snapping a man's neck, he was killing from an even younger age?
That's how it starts with young animals.
No, these were people. That was a lunch lady.
Oh, well, we don't know if she's dead or not.
I'm going to say she's dead.
She's certainly not doing well.
I don't think she had an eye. It seemed to be gone.
Ooh, I see what you did there.
Whatever, I like it. It looks good. The guy who's directing it, he's worked with James Gunn a bunch before, so they got a rapport. Other trailers. What I think was the most exciting trailer of the week, Godzilla King of Monsters.
That was
hot damn.
The last shot, it was beautiful.
There were a lot of complaints in that first Godzilla movie that it really lacked in Godzilla. Did you ever see it?
No.
It's fine. Does really good with scale. Not a lot of Godzilla.
Well, we knew we were starting to get this with the end of King Kong, Toho.
Yeah, but all the human characters in that first Godzilla are really boring. That's not true. Bryan Cranston was great, but he died in the first 10 minutes. Spoilers.
Can it be really good for like 10 minutes of a movie? And then like if you're in the first 10 minutes and I guess Samuel L. Jackson and The Rock and the other guys.
Yeah. I don't remember if that's a good movie, but I do remember that was a funny bit.
Yes. It was an okay movie.
I remember the explosion from behind, and that's about all I remember. Yeah.
Gator.
But man. Yeah, I don't think this movie's going to have the same, like, we're lacking in monsters problem.
No, maybe it's going to have too many.
Also, is it the apocalypse? Or do they just have a vision of the future where things are bad, where it's like that stupid Batman nightmare sequence? But Warner Brothers is putting this out, so you think they'd learn their lesson. I hope they just end the world. Like, we see Washington burning. Just burn it down.
I think that what we're seeing is the Titans are just raising all manner of hell across Earth.
Also, that's a stupid name. I didn't like it, but whatever.
Yeah, well, you get the monsters. You're getting Mothra, King Gorju.
King Ghidorah or Ghidra, depending on which one you're going with. It's been called many a thing. Yeah, you could see Mothra in her larval form and then being born. Rodan's in there coming out of a mountain.
Good for him.
Winging some stuff up. There's some other monsters in there,
like
too.
Like a mountain? Like the mountainside?
I think the other monsters we see in there, they have to be original ones because when the deal went through, unless Toho has signed off on other monsters, was they only had access to four of them. And all four of them are going to be in this movie. We saw some other ones, like a giant crab or something.
We saw the pictures of the four at the end.
Yeah, but it looks like we'll just have maybe some more disposable ones. Like,
do we get some King Godzilla Kong in this? Do you think they're hiding King Kong?
Maybe in a post-credit scene, I don't think.
Are they going to save King Kong versus Godzilla for later?
Yeah, I mean, that's literally the movie after this. But boy, this looks like it's going to be a tough one to top. That movie just looks fun as all hell.
Action and destruction just
watch
everywhere.
A couple of big monsters punch each other up.
Destroy a city.
Maybe, I mean, Mothra will probably become friends. Rodan's an ally sometimes.
Go all rampage on that piece.
That was, what was it? It wasn't Final Wars. That was the very last one. There was one Godzilla movie where it's really boring, but the last 10 minutes are like 13 monsters all just beating the hell out of Ghidorah.
A monster battle royale.
Yeah, just literally like stomping on his head, shooting him with like laser breath, whatever weapons they have, he's the bad one and we're all going to kill him.
Nice. Gang up.
It's a really boring movie, but a really great 10 minutes.
You know,
what's the name of that one? It's a lot of Godzilla movies. I have not seen them all.
Yet.
No, I don't think I'll
ever. Do you not have any intention?
Not really. I've seen what I've seen. I enjoy what I've seen for the most part. I'm not really.
No need to do more than you've done.
Yeah.
I got it.
And then an interesting trailer that looks like they spent some money, but not maybe enough money. Umbrella Academy had its trailer for Netflix. I just want to see a man in a gorilla's body with an astronaut helmet on the moon.
Well, there was a guy in an astronaut helmet.
Yeah, but he just looked like he was a pretty big guy, not a gorilla guy.
Well, sometimes you could call a big person, oh, look at that gorilla over there.
We read the book. It's an interesting enough book. It looks like they're going to kind of keep that quirky Gerard Way attitude about it. And I usually like Ellen Page and stuff.
Yeah, she's usually good. It looks entertaining. I enjoyed the book.
I was like, well, yeah, that comic we've read, yes.
Yes.
And there's a current series out right now, and if you want to buy the first two trades, I got those for sale too. Whatever, that's it. It looks fine.
Dollar bill, y'all.
Hopefully I'll have time to watch it. I make no promises. I'd like to, but, you know.
Time management.
Time, yeah.
Yeah. It's not on your side.
No. Sci-Fi has ordered a reboot of Rod Serling's Night Gallery. So now we're going to get Twilight Zone and Night Gallery. Cool?
Whatever. As long as it's entertaining and they tell fun stories, and I'm all in on it.
I don't think we need a Night Gallery, though. I mean, that's just Black Mirror. Because Night Gallery was more of a horror-based one compared to Twilight Zone, which was a little more tongue-in-cheek for the most part.
Yeah.
Which I would be all about, that kind of, you know, funner. Not that every episode has to be fun, but to just have a nice range of different kind of like sci-fi you could do.
Yeah, the more like the weird tales as opposed to like these scare you tales.
Yeah, it's just Black Mirror. So I feel like they're just trying to cash in on Black Mirror.
I personally like DuckTales myself.
Ooh. It really has nothing to do with anything.
Well, you were talking about Tales, and I'm saying I like DuckTales.
I haven't seen the new show.
I have seen a couple episodes. Beck Bennett's pretty good in it as Lunchpad McQuack, and the guy who was the David Tennant as Scrooge
was
in that.
Yeah, he was that, yeah. So I liked it as a kid. I'll never revisit it.
The original is still the best.
All I really remember is the theme song and the old Nintendo game, which was fantastic. Capcom put that sucker out.
Well, remember also the movie, the DuckTales movie?
No.
Oh, the DuckTales movie was good, too.
Was this like a direct-to-video thing?
I can't remember if it was direct-to-video or not, but Christopher Lloyd was in it.
I definitely don't remember this.
Yeah, it was good.
Sorry. I let you down.
You did. It involves a genie.
I have Aladdin for that. Yeah. Did we ever talk about the Aladdin trailer?
I think we did.
Okay, yeah. It looked fine. Not that excited about it. Things that might be exciting. Conan the Barbarian.
Yes.
He's coming back to Marvel. We knew that already. We know that he's going to have two different books out.
Conan.
But it looks like he might be premiering in a 12-part Avengers weekly series that's coming out. You should probably pick it up. Maybe pre-order that sucker called No Road Home. And I don't know, it's just all the Avengers like bandying about time and whatnot. And they pick up Conan. Because I guess he's just going to be in the continuity now. He's not going to be a little offshoot. Conan's going to be mixing it up with Scarlet Witch, it looks like.
Get after it.
Why not? If you got the property, use it. In that way, it was always meant to be used. Fighting alongside superheroes. Sure.
Yeah, I really have no comment on it one way or the other.
I'm not well read on Conan. I know the gist.
I enjoyed Conan.
Never read any of the books. I've read some of the comics, and that's about it. Aside from the movies. But not the Momoa one. I never saw that.
That was okay. It's not like the original. It's not like the big high fantasy sword and sorcery event that the old Conan movie was.
What else we got? In comics, looks like Booster Gold and Blue Beetle are going to be reunited in the series Heroes in Crisis, mostly about PTSD and superheroes, and also a bunch of them keep getting murdered.
Not good for superheroes. Not a good time to be a superhero in that world.
Booster Gold and Blue Beetle are fun characters. Booster Gold is a superhero from the future who's kind of a know-nothing in his time, and he wants to come back and impress everyone in the past, but he's just a big old screw-up. And Blue Beetle is like Batman, just has a bunch of tech, spends it on a lot of stuff, but he's mostly just a goofball and not that serious about anything.
Oh, so if like I were to become Batman.
Yeah, like you'd be really ineffective, but you might have money to be helpful.
That works for me.
Ineffective Batman. They're just a couple of idiots. They're a really fun team. I actually like them a lot together. So yeah, that's something to look forward to. Something maybe or maybe not worth looking forward to. Warner Brothers is developing a Plastic Man movie. Plastic Man.
I thought you said Plant Man for a minute, and I was really concerned.
No. Plastic Man.
Is it going to be about recycling and taking care of the Earth?
Plastic Man was a dude, got a bunch of chemicals dumped on him, as you do.
And became plastic?
Yeah. He's just all rubbery, stretches about. But he's not like Reed Richards, because Reed Richards like really just stretches, or the Elongated Man who really just stretches. Plastic Man.
There's a guy called the Elongated Man.
Yeah.
His superpower is not what I think it would have been with a name like that.
One time his wife was murdered.
Oh, wow.
Shoved in a fridge.
Ooh, that's cold.
Yeah, it was very dark. And also, it's become a trope. Well, people just saying, you know, it's like the dead girlfriend having to be the motivator for a hero. So if you ever hear, like, I don't know, what they call, like, fridge in the girl or something.
So don't date the Elongated Man.
Yeah, apparently.
That's what you're saying.
Or marry him.
Or be involved with him in any manner.
But Plastic Man is basically if Looney Tunes was a superhero. Like, he can become anything. He's not really limited to just, like, stretching.
So he can morph.
Basically, yeah. But, you know.
Then why can't his power just be morphing?
It involves a lot of stretching.
So he's not hard plastic. He's pliable plastic.
Yeah.
Almost like a rubber, like a vulcanized plastic.
He's kind of the goofiest one in DC. If you want to do him, sure. They could probably use some levity.
Who, the Elongated Man or
Plastic Man? Elongated Man is on television, though. Okay. He's on The Flash, weirdly enough.
Oh, good for him.
I stopped watching that show, but he was there when I left. He's probably still there.
I've seen an episode of The Flash, so.
It's fine. They get sad and go into this one hallway and talk about their feelings. I call it the feelings hallway.
Oh, I don't.
If you watch The Flash.
I actively avoid the feelings hallway, man.
You know exactly what I'm talking about. If you've ever seen that show, they always just walk into the same hallway when they have to talk about something emotional. And I hope I have locked it into your brain from now on that is the feelings hallway.
That's a creative name.
Whenever they go in there, I'm like, oh, they're going to talk about feelings. And every single time.
I have feelings, and they only exist in this hallway.
Yeah, basically, you know, this is our soap opera hallway.
Oh, okay. No, feelings hallway. Keep it. Don't change names on people.
It's where it happens. What was I talking about?
Plastic Man.
Oh, Plastic Man.
In the feelings hallway.
There's been some push online I've seen, speaking of DuckTales, for Ben Schwartz to play Plastic Man, which, I mean, he's a lanky goofball with dark hair compared to Plastic Man, who's a lanky goofball with dark hair. So
can he...
Sure.
Can he, like, change his hair color or hairstyle?
No, he'll still kind of... Well, I mean, the hair will shift, but yeah, he's going to become, like, you know... A wagon or a rocket. I don't know why I went with a wagon.
I mean, he can kind of do whatever. As you do.
But it's like, you'll still see his face there and whatnot. He wears a weird red bodysuit.
Is he upset that G.I. Joe gets real hair and he doesn't?
All I think that's going to happen here is you'll have, you know, the accident will happen. He'll be a real goofball. And then at the end of Act 2, something bad will happen where he'll let someone down, maybe a friend, maybe a fiance or something. And then he has a moment of realization and he has to get together and he saves the day at the end. But at the very end, he still shows that he's still kind of a goofball and maybe someone's yelling after him like, Plastic Man, waving a fist. And that's the movie.
I need, like, somebody to explain to me what the appeal of back when G.I. Joe was new and popular, the appeal of G.I. Joe having real hair. Like, it's G.I. Joe with real hair. Are you more concerned about, like, G.I. Joe blowing shit up and, like, being all-American hero?
That's a, like, generation and a half older than us. I don't know.
Okay, well, if somebody could at me, somebody, like, who knows. Ross, help your boy out at Junior Rich Me. Tell me, like, what the appeal of G.I. Joe actually having real hair was. And I don't think it was real hair. I think it was, like, felt. I'm not going to do the research. I'd be meandering.
He couldn't tell you what real hair feels like.
Ooh, wow. I'm on your side, Ross. I'm on your side. Alpha Flight.
And then the big news of the week, the actual thing that
I went
happened.
On a date.
Did you?
We'll save that for the segment.
Oh, I guess we have an
we'll
extra
save
segment.
Save that for
doing.
The segment.
All right.
Yeah.
Is that your Saturday plan?
We'll save that for the segment.
All right. Avengers 4 had a trailer, and the title that the Russos were like, no one has guessed the title yet. Basically, everyone guessed the title. It was Endgame.
We're in the Endgame now, Tony.
Yep. As a trailer, kind of underwhelming.
Yeah, but I feel like they...
Oh, they're threading this needle. They're like, we're not going to really show you anything. We're just going to show you everyone being sad.
We're just going to show you, like, here's what's happening in between.
You got Tony in space.
About to die.
Well, I have a weird issue with that because I've seen people online like, oh, it's, you know, the nanobots. Like, he must have used up all the nanobots. But in the second Guardians movie, like, and our ship is, it's falling apart. In the second movie, Rocket has a literal, like, spray can of fix the ship. And it just replaces all, like, the holes and the electronics that are there. I'm like, just use the spray can.
He probably doesn't know the spray can is there.
Gamora's there. She should know. By the way, Gamora's 100% on that ship. I know they're trying, but they showed her on the ship in two different shots, so.
Gamora?
Oh, not Gamora.
Gamora's very dead.
Nebula.
Nebula is very much.
I'm mixing up my space people.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's definitely on the ship with him. He's not alone. He's talking to Pepper, maybe, and he's like, please stop saying that you brought yoga to the East and to stop sticking jade eggs in your vagina. It's really unhealthy. Maybe get it together.
He's not saying that at all.
Someone needs to say it to Paltrow.
I think you just did on the podcast.
God, she's a fucking nut job.
Let's focus on the trailer.
She really pulls me out of every movie. I'm like, ugh.
Let's focus on the trailer. Focus on the trailer. Everyone who's alive is in the trailer.
No, that's not. You don't get a Rocket.
Well, most everyone who's alive is. Yeah, where's Rocket in all of this?
Probably finding
somewhere
another
in Wakanda. Yeah.
I mean, the biggie is that, you know, we got
Hawkeye's alive.
Yeah, he's back and he's Ronin now. And I love everyone like, oh, he's Ronin. I'm like, how many of you actually know what that is?
I have no idea. I thought Ronin was the guy that was Ronin the Accuser.
Wrong. Spelled differently.
Oh, sorry.
This is Ronin, not Ronan.
Sorry. My apologies.
And the costume looks very accurate to what it was. It was just, you know, around 2008, he decided to be a ninja.
Yeah.
And then by about 2009, he wasn't.
He killed a bunch of people in his scene, it looks like.
Yeah, it's just murdering people left and right. Somehow he thinks that flying is safe in this world now after that snap happened and a ton of planes went down immediately.
Unless he sells a Quinjet.
I guess if you flew your own plane. They didn't show him flying a plane.
Yeah, he's capable.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, maybe he stole a plane. There we go. He feels safe flying his own plane. Yeah.
I wonder if Wong is alive.
Unclear. The only one that we got that we didn't know was they showed Shuri was missing. But we also know that's not 100% accurate because they also show Ant-Man is missing, which you think he would be.
Yeah, I mean,
because he's been gone for however long this is future in time. Everyone was really sad on the internet that Steve shaved his beard.
Yeah.
That was the, like...
The snap took out more than just half the universe. It also took out Cap's beard.
Everyone was very upset about that. Now he just has sideburns.
Yep. No sign of Captain Marvel.
No, I don't think. What would be the point of showing her in a trailer before her movie's out?
I don't think there's any point.
I think we'll get another trailer sometime, probably right after March, like probably when the hype is still high around her.
Well, you see that they move the date up to late April.
Yeah.
So it's been moved back closer to us.
Yeah, which is nice. I mean, I'll take it.
Yeah, me too. I can't wait much longer. I'm going to have to, but...
Yeah, that's how time works.
Yeah. Well, maybe not in this movie.
That's true. They are going to do a bunch of time travel.
Get the Eye of Agamotto going, baby.
That's definitely what's happening. Ant-Man is... I like how everything is dour and sad, and everyone thinks they're going to die. Here comes Ant-Man at the end. He's just like, hey, guys, going to save the day.
Can you buzz me in, please?
But especially what I love about it, it just feels like such a middle finger to some people, like you, who didn't see the first Ant-Man. You're like, who the hell cares? And now he's coming in, he's like, saving the day.
Watch it be Ant-Man.
You gotta care about me now. Boom!
Watch it be Ant-Man all along, who's the guy.
He looks like he's gonna be.
He could very well be.
He's coming in with some time travel. I don't know what they're really gonna do with the time travel.
Still trying to figure out how he got out of the quantum realm. That's the big key. Wouldn't it be such a letdown if the only thing Captain Marvel does in this movie is help Scott get out of the quantum realm?
No. I think she might show up and get Tony out of space. I think, or the other option is
what if she
Pepper
shows,
Potts what if rescue.
What if she shows up and she's still in the van and that's what Scott's buzzing in and she's the one who got him out of the quantum realm?
I think you're really more concerned about that than anyone else.
Damn right I am.
He's just going to be like, oh no, I stepped on a quantum time vortex particle. I'm bigging out again.
Sometimes it happens to people. It's part of growing up. It's an absolutely natural part of your body changing.
It's just going to be pseudo fake science. So, you know, fake science in my world.
Because it's science fiction.
Yeah. He's just going to step on a thing. Maybe it's going to look like a weird interdimensional bug. Maybe it won't be.
Dormammu?
It's probably not going to be that.
Don't you think Dormammu would be mad at Thanos? Like, where's Dormammu? Like, why can't he come out and, like, go to work on Thanos?
Because we can only have one guy per movie with a giant purple head and a bunch of lines in his chin.
Fair. Well, I did see that in the stipulations.
Would you get that one shot of Thanos walking around like it's Gladiator?
Yeah, with his butt, comic book accurate, he has his armor up as a scarecrow.
Yeah, we saw that in Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah, I'm starting to like pick up on some of these things.
Just walking about.
Yep.
Same world's Gladiator. Now, crossover you never saw coming.
Mm.
When we get to that sequel to Gladiator that's coming for some reason, Thanos will tie into it. No, that's happening. Did
New
we talk Doug. About that?
New Doug. Yes, we did talk about
I
that.
I don't remember things I talked about.
That's okay. We forgive you. You don't have to be perfect.
Yeah, I mean, that's about it. I think they didn't do much. They, you know, it's not like they really increased my interest, but, you know, it was nice getting some footage.
Yeah, I thought it was good to get a little peek at it. And
the next one will be all about, you know, punching.
I do like that people are, like, trying lasers. To, like, read tea leaves, so to speak, with how the, like, the Avengers logo is assembling itself again from all the ash. Well, what is it assembled in a certain order that means this.
Well, if there's anything we've learned from Marvel trailers, it's they put intentional fake-outs in, so I'm sure that, you know, something in here is a fake-out.
Yeah. Oh, in the beginning of that.
Maybe there's an added shot. Maybe someone's lost an eye. They love doing that.
That Marvel logo, though, the Marvel Studios logo did not stand a chance. That thing got snapped out, too.
I guess that's it. That's the trailer.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot in it. There was nothing new. Nothing we didn't know. It's just enough to be like, oh, hey, remember us? We're a thing that's happening soon.
Do you remember how sad you were in the summer? Guess what? Still sad.
Oh.
I know it did. We were in the theater when it happened, but that movie must have rocked people's worlds who just, you know, didn't know Infinity Gauntlet or really have that much depth
knowledge
in the comic book world.
Yeah.
Just must have, like, what the hell?
I still think it would have been a cool ending to just have him snap and end on that, and then you really have no idea.
Oh, no, we had to slowly watch everyone die.
Although that was still powerful.
That's how you make it sad. That's the news. From there, it's Jared Sports Reports.
He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. Bear tested. The guy is drunk, but there he goes. Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line.
It's time for another Jared Sports Report.
Well, in the world of sports, the Patriots lost in one of the most unbelievable and terrible, heart-wrenching ways possible. A last-second Hail Mary hook and ladder.
That's all I saw, that it was insane.
Yeah, well, they didn't really deserve to win anyway. So they're on to Pittsburgh. They still have a chance for a first-round bye. See, other good sports news. The Celtics absolutely lit up somebody the other night.
Yeah.
Chicago, right?
It was, yeah. Which is the biggest away win in all of NBA history and the largest Celtics win in the franchise history.
Yeah, they really did something really good there.
It was a barn burner. Just watching it, like, it was sad.
It wasn't really a barn burner so much as that they went in and they burned Chicago's barn. Like, they found Mrs. O'Leary's horse or a cow and then burnt down Chicago. again.
What's at the end of the game, like, all the Chicago fans are booing, and I'm like, I honestly don't know who they're booing here.
I think they're booing their hometown team.
That's what I thought. I was like,
speaking of, you
could be upset at the Celtics, or you could be upset at Chicago.
Speaking of hometown teams, remember this little thing called the XFL?
Yeah, they're bringing that back.
They're bringing it back, baby. And last week they announced the cities, the first cities to host XFL teams. It'll be New York. New Jersey is going to host. At MetLife, Washington, D.C., Tampa Bay, St. Louis, Dallas, Houston, Seattle, and Los Angeles.
So the closest team is going to be in Jersey.
Yep.
A little bit of a haul. Hey, you know who doesn't believe in the moon landing? Steph Curry. Steph Curry doesn't believe in the moon landing.
Oh, okay, well.
The greatest shooter of his generation doesn't believe we made it to the moon.
There's still plenty of people out there that don't believe that we made it to the moon.
Even if you think that, maybe be smart enough not to open your mouth.
Yes, it's best when you don't talk about things like faked moon landings.
That's all I really had on that. Just thought it was funny.
Well, there you go.
Steph Curry doesn't think the moon landing happened. That's why Golden State's falling apart.
It's not why they're falling apart, but I can appreciate that more than the flat Earth thing.
Boy, he doubled down on that.
Well,
he
just wouldn't let.
Thankfully, people stopped asking him.
He
about
has
it.
Convictions, Zachary. He has convictions.
He's smart enough now that he know he doesn't even respond to it. But boy, that was a dumb thing.
Well, I mean, that's not the smartest thing that the world's ever heard.
Well, I guess, is that it for sports?
That's it for sports.
Bated breath. I guess we're finding out whatever we call this segment. Oh, Lowdown on Love. There we go. That was the name of it.
Hey, Jared.
I like your style. I find it very erotic.
Now, let's get the Lowdown on Love with Junior Rich.
Oh, I mean, not much. I'm just, you know, went on a date, went out, had a lovely dinner. Probably a second date. That's the update right there.
You really sold it as something, and then you're like, I'm going to give minimum information.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to jinx it, and B, I'm not going to air my private life out there.
Yeah, that's kind of the point.
No, that's why I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to give you that satisfaction.
The people want to know.
They don't want to know. They probably really don't care.
On a number of bases, which base would you say it reached?
I'm not going to answer a question like that. It's incredibly inappropriate.
No, it's not. It's just saying a base.
No, because you have different people have different assignments to different bases. There's no base talk here. There's no, I should have never said a thing.
Sounds like a real bunt.
Oh, my God. Anyway, now on to Jared's Reading Corner.
Sure. I hope everyone enjoyed that.
Oh, I know you did, at
that,
least.
That meandering.
You only cared about one whole segment. It was that. Last time I tell you any damn thing about myself. Anyway, Christmas and the X-Men, the new X-Men, as we enter Jared's Reading Corner.
It's Jared's Reading Corner.
Hey, you know what's the thing in the Marvel Universe?
Christmas.
Also Santa.
Yes.
Santa is real and exists in this world.
A miracle a few blocks down from 34th Street. So we have some new X-Men to talk about as they are. It's a cute little story.
Yeah, I mean, new X-Men. This came out in 1991 when it looks like the story is taking place closer to 1975 based on everyone's like, what is this new team we're a part of and your strange customs?
I really don't know the history of the new X-Men. All I know is Banshee is putting the angel on the tree on the front page and Colossus is getting ready to
Does he need to fly for this? He's
yeah,
flying
sure he
does. About.
You don't know how tall that tree is. You don't know how short he is. He's not touching the ground. He's got to get up there. Anyway, as they're trimming the tree, a noise comes from Professor Xavier's office. It's Cerebro, and it's detected the most powerful mutant ever.
The most powerful of all time. And thankfully, it's right in New York.
Yes, where there just happens to be this large guy in a red jacket and
That's
some...
the Blob.
The Blob and some hoodlums.
He's Toad.
Threatens to punch somebody's mutta.
What's really weird about this is the Blob comments on a mannequin. He's like, look at that sexy mannequin. And Toad's reaction is just like, what? What are you doing? A sexy mannequin?
I don't know.
It was a weird moment.
It wasn't normal, no, by any stretch of the imagination. So anyway, they're all meeting up in New York City.
The Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. Are also at this mall.
So, of course, what happens when any two warring factions show up at the mall and there's only one super smart TV left? They fight.
Ah, there's a regular fisticuffs. Colossus punches the Blob. He's like, you're fat even for an American.
He's like, I'm going to punch you back to the mother country.
That was just such a weird burn.
Spoiler doesn't do it. Best line in the whole comic, though, is on the next panel when Wolverine says, I've got all 12 days of Christmas to cut you to ribbons.
Harsh.
Yeah, well, he's taking his time. He's being methodical.
It's real murdery.
But we still haven't found the ultimate super mutant yet. There's a mutant that's the most powerful of them all.
A different, not as fat man comes in and turns the Brotherhood into action figures, murdering them immediately.
Yeah, he kills them into toys.
Which is harsh, and that's how toys are made, kids. That's how action figures are born in the Marvel Universe.
That's why G.I. Joe has real hair.
People are killed.
That is why G.I. Joe has real hair.
That is a messed up way to make toys.
He's also got a weird grin about himself after he's done it.
And they're like, excuse me, Santa, have you seen the most powerful mutant around? He's like, yeah,
it's me.
I have.
My name is Mr. Kris Kringle.
And then he teleports them all away and erases their memories. And they're just outside and they question. They're like, weren't we just in the mansion like a second ago?
But they're in Rockefeller Center at the world famous rink. Oh, yeah, Storm showed up too. She just like had one panel. Like, oh, I'm going to show up now and makes a white Christmas in New York. That really is all the story was.
Yeah.
We just.
But it just comes in to let you know that in this world, Santa is the world's most powerful mutant from Marvel Christmas Special number one.
This might be the shortest reading corner we've ever had.
Oh, no, sir. Because I've snuck in a separate one that you knew nothing about.
Oh, okay.
This was just teeing up a different story.
Oh, okay.
To let you know that Santa is the most powerful mutant.
Are you
going
to read
world.
It to me?
It's only. Look, it's literally a 3-page story.
Okay.
So I got to build it up in its own way. If we just did it.
All right.
It would end quickly.
Okay. So is Santa still doing his toy murder thing?
Oh, Santa has some issues. Because you want to know what happened?
He hangs out with elves.
Right after Secret Invasion.
Okay.
That amazing story. I didn't like it at all.
Okay. I figured it was. I remember we've talked about it. You know, like Secret Invasion's dumb.
Yeah. It's all. But it turns out every one of his reindeer are Skrulls. So Santa.
What? Wow.
So Santa can't make his deliveries.
But he just established he can teleport.
Teleport others. Teleport others.
So why not teleport your damn toys?
Others. Other living people.
Okay. Well, these were technically living people at one point till he plastic man their ass.
It's true. But Santa can't make his deliveries on Christmas Eve.
All those damn reindeer.
Whatever is he to do? So his answer, he goes to the Illuminati.
Okay.
Doctor Strange, Black Bolt, Professor X, Mr. Fantastic, Iron Man, and Namor. And they're like, yeah, we'll help you out. Black Bolt's a little annoyed because Santa never brought him a speaking spell, which would be good for Black Bolt since he can't talk. So he's a little sour.
Yeah, Black Bolt would ruin a lot of people's days.
So what they do, because the Illuminati at this time all had an infinity gem,
oh,
is they give Santa the infinity gauntlet.
No.
And he
shut your dirty mouth.
And he immediately goes evil. Immediately.
Like Bill Goldberg and Santa Slay Evil.
He just yells, you want the infinity gauntlet back? Come and take it, you little girls. Sexist.
Very.
A little sexist, Santa.
Oh, yeah. He's got the infinity gauntlet. He gives zero now. Zero given.
Santa now tries to kill everyone. But thankfully, Namor, King of Atlantis.
Good for him.
I don't know why I had an extra syllable in there.
Atlantis.
Takes a snowball. He goes,
wait a minute. How does he get a snowball if he's from Atlantis? Wouldn't the snowball melt under the water?
Well, he's out of the water now. He was with everyone else. He goes, must use all of my Atlantean might to throw the snowball by Neptune's nether regions.
Oh, wow.
I did
whoa,
it.
Whoa, wow. By Neptune's nether regions.
I did it. And he hits Santa in the face with a snowball so hard that Santa falls back, goes, by Blitzen's nether regions, I dropped it. All that power,
by
gone.
By Blitzen's?
By Blitzen's nether regions, yeah.
This is a lot of nether region talk in this.
Yeah, there is.
Really? Why don't you just, like, it'd be easier to say, like, by Neptune's nuts.
That's not how Namor talks.
By Blitzen's balls. See, it'd be way better than Neptune's nether regions.
So the Infinity Gauntlet is not with Santa anymore because he went immediately evil. And he's like, how am I going to make my deliveries? So Iron Man builds him 8 reindeer out of Iron Man armor.
Why is Iron Man doing him a favor after he went evil?
For Christmas.
I guess
Christmas spirit.
Stay on the nice list.
But then they all fly away and the reindeer apparently sentient and can talk. And one of them goes, weird, I'm programmed to need a drink.
I mean,
this
it's
is
a long,
all real.
Long night on the job. You know, sometimes you just got a little sip, a little bit of the ripple.
And we end with Namor quietly saying to himself, I am the king of all snowball throwers. The end. And now I will show you this one image of Santa with the Infinity Gauntlet.
Oh, oh, wow. He's angry.
It's from the Marvel Holiday Special
He's
in 2009.
He's an angry elf. Oh, boy.
I wanted to share that story of how Santa's the most powerful mutant of all time, and also one time he had the Infinity Gauntlet and went evil.
Wow.
And that's how Christmas works, kids.
Just
in the Marvel universe.
Be a jerk until you get what you want.
Santa is all powerful, literally can beat anyone, I guess, unless you have a snowball.
I'm going to start stockpiling on slush balls. Those hurt.
By Neptune's nether regions. These are weird. They're just fun little whatevers, though.
Yeah, I don't think they're supposed to be, like, spectacular.
Take them as, I don't know, Santa with the Infinity Gauntlet. It's kind of a fantastic story.
He was power, giving the power symbol there. I was going to say power fist, but I felt like that was probably inappropriate.
Power glove.
There you
Nintendo
go.
Nintendo style.
Oh, wow. I never really understood how the power glove worked.
I had one of them.
Did it break on you?
No, it just didn't really work well.
You know what I've been playing a lot of recently, in like the last week, speaking of Nintendo?
No idea.
Tetris.
Oh, yeah.
Classic.
Best-selling Game Boy game, I think?
Yep.
Yeah, it's a fine game.
It's a good game.
It's entertaining enough.
Good game.
But yeah, that's how Marvel is in the actual 616. He has more appearances.
In the 616?
It's the designation of the Marvel Universe.
Oh, okay.
Every universe has its own number. Marvel is 616.
Good to know. String theory.
DC is like, our universe is number one. Marvel's like, easy does it. We're not that important.
Yeah.
We're down the ladder with 616. But DC's like, we're number one. We're Earth one.
Not in the movie theater, you aren't.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah, there are more Santa stories. These are just two of them. I'm not even going to say the good ones or the weird ones.
No, I believe they are exactly weird.
That's your holidays, kids. It's Santa in the Marvel Universe.
All right.
I stuck in a little story time
I don't
there.
Hate it.
That's how they're going to take out Thanos. A snowball.
Santa is going to show up.
No, I just want Namor to be like, I'm here now. Snowball!
Give me back my gauntlet!
Just yell about someone's nethers.
Yeah.
I guess from there, it's time.
There's no guessing. It's just where we're going.
For letters to the editors.
A lot of questions, number one. Damn few answers.
Here's another one of your letters to the editors.
Make it so.
It is time to end this debate.
Okay.
The most annoying debate that comes but once a year.
Die Hard is a Christmas
movie.
Damn
it, that's the debate.
No, it's not. There is no friggin' debate. It takes place at Christmas.
It came out in the summer.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
It's a movie that takes place at Christmas. It's not a Christmas movie.
It is very much a Christmas
movie. To be a Christmas movie, you have to have Christmas spirit.
Oh, he is plenty. I now have a machine gun. Ho, ho, ho.
That's not Christmas spirit.
Oh, that's totally Christmas spirit.
It's not a Christmas movie.
Have you ever even freaking seen Die Hard?
I've seen Die Hard 1 through 5.
Okay, Die Hard 1 and 2 both take place at Christmas. They are Christmas
okay,
movies.
Okay, so is Die Hard 4 a 4th of July movie?
Sure.
No. Is Die Hard... That one's not a holiday. That one's just terrible. Don't watch Die Hard 5. It will make you sad. You ever see Die Hard 5?
No.
Sucked. Really hard. 1 through 3 are great.
Let's see.
Actually, 2 is fine.
I'm doing a little research here. Stand by.
He has no Christmas cheer. He kills so many people.
It is a Christmas movie.
By that metric, Iron Man 3 is a Christmas movie and a New Year's movie. Two holidays for the price of one. Batman Returns, hell of a Christmas movie, yeah?
That came out during the summer, didn't it?
But they take place at Christmas. That seems to be your one requirement.
Yeah, definitely a Christmas movie.
No. I'm sure everyone involved in that movie regrets having it take place at Christmas because I'm sure they're all sick of this crap.
No. Oh, okay. Miracle on 34th Street. Guess when it was released.
That's a weird metric to have.
That's what you're using the metric for Die
Hard.
That's
a Christmas movie.
Yeah, it came out in June. It came out in June.
They have Christmas spirit.
Yes.
And a Santa.
Oh, yeah. The first movie they reference in this article, Die Hard, Waiting for Santa Claus. That's a movie that came out in June of 1901. The Unholy Three and The Queen of the Mob. Not even really sure what that's about. Holiday Inn.
These are just summer movies that happen to be placed at Christmas.
Miracle on 34th Street. Lady and the Tramp.
Die Hard has nothing to
Lady
do with
Lady and the Tramp
Christmas.
Takes place at Christmas. It came out in June.
It's also not a Christmas movie.
Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
It has nothing to do with Christmas.
Trading Places. That takes place. Come on. Dan Aykroyd dresses up as freaking Santa Claus in that movie.
Still not a Christmas movie.
Came out in June. Merry Christmas, Mr. Lawrence.
Okay, what's that one about?
No idea.
Okay, yeah, so you say that one smugly. You're like, ho, ho, ho.
Is Gremlins a Christmas movie?
Yes.
Came out in June 8, 1984. Suck it.
I'll give Gremlins Christmas status.
Yeah?
Because that at least focuses on Christmas in a weirdly dark
term. Die Hard 2, Batman Returns, all mentioned as Christmas movies.
They're not Christmas
movies.
Iron Man
3, The Nice Guys. Yeah.
That's not how Christmas works.
Why? Because what's your metric then? What is your metric?
It actually has to tie into Christmas, not just have it be a backdrop.
It takes place at Christmas.
but has nothing to do with Christmas. There's nothing Christmassy about it. The only thing Christmassy about Die Hard is they have a holiday party.
Curse of the Cat People. The main character befriends her father's dead first wife and an elderly retired stage actress during Christmas.
And the most snow you see is some cocaine.
In what movie?
Die Hard.
That's because it's in Southern California. The Die Hard 2 is like snow everywhere. Well, no, he lights just the trail of airplane fuel.
No, it's just like the boss was doing coke in that movie.
Yes. Let's see. When did A Christmas Story come out? It was released in November. Unless it comes out at Christmas, not a Christmas movie.
No, as long as it's Christmas-based. I never said anything about the time frame.
I still think Die Hard's a Christmas movie.
Without Christmas cheer, it is not a Christmas movie.
There's plenty. Again, I have a machine gun. Ho, ho, ho. And it's a Christmas party. They're at a Christmas party when Hans Gruber comes in.
It could be any party, though.
It was a Christmas party.
Okay, so if you can take okay, this is the metric. If you could take it and plop it into any other point in time, then it's not a Christmas movie. But movies that are based around Christmas, you can't do that with.
We're going to have to agree to disagree.
One of us right and one of us is a jackass.
Yeah, and you've admitted to being a jackass on the show multiple times. Oh, here we go. A new poll claims to end the debate over Die Hard as a Christmas movie.
I don't care about what the internet says.
Nope, I don't want to read this article. Goes against my beliefs.
Okay.
Here we go. BuzzFeed is, or Buzz.ie, is Die Hard a Christmas movie? Vote in the poll. I vote yes. And you know what? 79% of other people that voted in this poll agree with me.
So that poll that you had to take 5 minutes looking for somewhere in the middle of the internet?
No, it's right on top of the Google page.
Oh, okay.
Die Hard writer confirms it is a Christmas movie. There you go.
You're just reading headlines.
It's in Time Magazine, dude. 9 reasons why Die Hard is the best Christmas movie of all time.
You know what? You know who says it's not? Bruce Willis.
Much like Joseph, Mary, and John, like Joseph and Mary, John McClane, a weary traveler. The film is a perfect reflection of a Christmas party. Let's see. What else do we have?
This is why you're not invited to my holiday
John
party.
John McClane. You're not having a holiday party. John McClane comes bearing gifts. They both feature pregnant women. They teach the value of family, the spirit of friendship. With the dead guy, I now have a machine gun. Ho, ho, ho.
Wait, what? See, these are really stretching.
Hans Gruber is greater Christmas villain than the Grinch. Best use of Christmas wrapping tape ever. They do use wrapping tape. And it has Christmas music in it. There you go. Anyway, I rest my case.
You rest your case by reading a really reaching list on the internet.
I guessed what the friggin' letter was about before you even finished saying it when you said that we're going to settle the debate. There is no debate. Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
It's clearly a debate. If one's happening, so you also don't understand words.
Anyway, if you enjoy the show, go to patreon.com/editorsnotecomics. And you can, for $1 a month, get the show a day early. You can get the Buffy back issue bin a whole week early, plus audio Patreon exclusives from Zach himself. You can also go to the store, 210 Water Street in Hollowell. Check it out online, editorsnotecomics.com. All kinds of cool, nifty stuff on all the social media platforms.
Hey, it was a big order this week, so come pick up your stuff. It cost me a lot of money.
Wow, that's true. Very, very aggressive.
Well, it was just a big week.
Yeah.
Which means I'll make more money, but only when people pick their stuff up.
Holiday hours coming up. You're going to be open the Saturday before Christmas? Yes, no?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'll be open before Christmas. Not the Monday before, though, because there's no shipment that
day. That's Christmas Eve.
Yeah, so I won't be
so
open
the store
day.
That week will be closed the 23rd, 24th, and 25th.
Yep.
Oh, 3-day weekend for you.
Yeah.
Look at you.
We really, because UPS doesn't deliver that day, so.
Oh, wow. And well, we all have to get together for our annual Christmas get together on the 25th.
I guess we did that last year.
We did do that last year in the middle of a blizzard.
Did we do that the year before?
Pretty sure you and I have spent every Christmas together for some time now.
Oh, yeah. What do you know?
This year, I'm going to bring the Christmas movie, Die Hard.
All right. That's an early game that day, so I'll just play at like 5:30.
Yeah, there you go.
I guess I'll do it for this week. Next week, we're back. We're done with Christmas holidays.
Thanks. I plug you and I don't get anything.
Hey, you're on Twitter.
At Junior Rich.
You want to see a man get sad about a Patriots game? Were you tweeting about sadness?
I was tweeting about sadness. You were. Yeah.
All right.
Well, my tweet was don't get mad at Miami. Get mad at the Patriots defense for giving up home run plays.
Spider-Man next week.
Into the Spider-Verse.
All the Spider-Man all the time. And Spider-Women.
And pigs.
I don't want to be sexist like Santa.
Spider-Pig.
Come at me, you girls.
Spider-Pig.